Will you pray with me? God, we ask that you plant that seed of faith deep in our hearts. Water it with your word. Let your sun shine on it and let it come to fruition however you see fit. Amen. So my greatest fear finally came true. Now, I'm sure if you were to share some stories on how that sentence applies to you, you have some great things to share, as would I. I had a big clinical trial that was getting ready to wrap up, and I had to get all the departments to check in and finally say that everything was okay, and that, yes, we were ready to end this clinical drug trial. I was on my way home from Iowa, and our car hit a raccoon, which knocked out the radiator, leaving us stranded in the middle of a dusty road between two farm fields. My wife and I were stuck in Iowa, and my study was closing in the morning, and I couldn't be in the office, and I couldn't do anything about it. My greatest fear had come true, despite the fact that I spent the next day on the phone on the floor of a hotel room in Iowa, attached to the wall to keep my cell phone charged the whole time, my team having to verbally tell me, a visual person, how and what was on each document, I was still able to close the study, even though I was miles from the office. Maybe you have a similar story in your own life. Our Easter story this year is from Mark. And Mark is excited to tell his story, and it seems like he races through his whole gospel. Mark is constantly using words like immediately and urgently to express his fast-paced urgency through the whole gospel text. And this fast pace leads up to the end of Mark's letter, and then Mark ends his gospel with this final sentence. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for fear and terror and amazement had seized them. They had said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. End of story? That's it? Now, if a movie were written with a plot ending like that, I'm sure critics would have had a field day. And on Rotten Tomatoes, it would probably be a very rotten tomato for a rating. The earliest known copies of Mark's letter stop at verse 8, where we stopped. But newer dated versions of those manuscripts provide two endings that don't appear in the earliest copies that we have. It's assumed the early scribes weren't happy with the sudden and incomplete ending, so it's assumed they added new endings that we have in our Gospel of Mark today. Besides the original ending, there are two alternate endings to the story, the shorter version and a longer version. It seems the scribes just wanted, just like all of us, a happily ever after ending, like every good story should have. But was that Mark's intent? Mark may have ended his story when he did, showing us that it's not always what is said that's important, but sometimes it's what's not said that's equally important. Mary, Martha, and Salome, the women who came to the tomb, may have been exhausted. Now keep in mind, they had been following Jesus for a long period of time, and Jesus didn't just stay in one city. He was city hopping all around. In fact, he probably had so many frequent traveling miles, he could have gotten a free donkey to anywhere at that point in time. The burden of discipleship on those women must have been great. Maybe they, along with the disciples, thought they would return to normal lives now that their hope in Jesus had died along with Jesus. As the book of Acts points out, when Jesus returned to the house, all the disciples were inside and locked out of fear. No one was spreading Jesus' message. And the women brought spices ready to prepare Jesus' dead body. It seems that in those 3 days, everyone had given up hope and returned to life as normal. The dream that Jesus had shared with them was over. The man in the cave told the women that Jesus had been raised. I cannot imagine what these women were thinking, but maybe here's just a thought. Wait, what? Are you for real? This resurrection thing actually happened? Well, it did. Then perhaps their greatest fear actually came true. Maybe they ran in fear from the tomb because they knew they were being called back to discipleship. Their dream that had died came back to life. Jesus was calling them again. They and the disciples would have to leave their comfortable confines of their house and step out into the larger world to share the gospel message Jesus had taught them those years that he was with them, a message of grace, love, and forgiveness for the whole world that God longed to be with each and every person. There's no happily ever after in Mark's letter because the story isn't over, and it's still not over today. The happily ever after comes later when we are reunited with Christ through the power of the resurrection. We struggle with this uncomfortableness of knowing that Jesus is calling each of us, perhaps again. From people who hear God's message of love for the first time and it resonates with you. To people who know of God's story but maybe have set it aside for a while for one reason or another. And you feel like maybe it's time to pick that story up again. To people who know the story and realize God is encouraging you to continue the story and maybe in new ways push the bounds of that story that might be out of your norm. We need to deal with the uncomfortable ending to Mark's gospel text in our lives. Perhaps you are like Saul, who is living life one way after hearing the story suddenly changed your life. Our church is here to help you with that, if that's where you are at. For others, perhaps you're like Mary, Martha, and Salome. In their greatest fear, suddenly they're called to continue this story in new ways, and grace is here for you too. Mary, Martha, and Salome should be our inspiration. These women show us both how the frontline workers and the behind-the-scene workers make an impact every day. They stuck it out to the end and clearly shared what they had seen with one another. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this gospel text today. Paul says in another scripture reading that by the grace of God, I am what I am. So we proclaim and do this because we have come to believe, and we want you to believe as well. Paul shared his faith and what he witnessed, so now it's up to us to do the same to help others come to believe. So, like Mark leaves us with two endings, I now leave you with two endings. Ending number one, today's message leaves us with a choice. To return to our old lives like the message never happened, like the disciples within that 3 days after Jesus had died and didn't know what to do, but stayed inside out of fear. We can continue to live our comfortable lives in the shadows of the tomb of silence. Our other option is to take a risk, break out of our norm, leaving the tomb of sorrow, shame, and regret, and realize that we have a God who loves us and frees us and wants us to begin a new life and find a way to be part of God's story like the disciples. A truly happily ever after ending to the story. Here's ending two. The power in this resurrection message should fill us with confidence, knowing that we have a future with God. So that frees us and gives us renewed space and a renewed sense of hope to face whatever challenges lie ahead. This message empowers us to change from my greatest fear has finally come true to our greatest hope has finally come true. God wants us to be part of the story. How will you respond? Amen.